Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. So we broke down, D-Mace and I yesterday, broke down Joe Rexroad's article in The Athletic, and he said he thinks that the Titans should go up and get their quarterback to do whatever it takes. If they think their quarterback of the future is in this draft, you have to do whatever it takes to go and get him. And I would agree, but you have to be so sure that that is your guy. You have to be so sure that that is your quarterback of the future, that this is the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. And that's a really kind of overwhelming move to make. But I hear a lot of people, a lot of Titans fans saying the Titans need to go up and get their quarterback. And I say, okay, who do you think it is? And I may hear Will Levis. Okay, why Will Levis? Because he's the next Josh Allen. Well, you know, why do you think that? Well, that's what Mel Kiper was talking about on Get Up. And totally fair. The NFL draft gurus, you know, they bring out the mock drafts. They each have who they think is the best quarterback in this draft. But that's the whole thing, is that each draft guru, whether it's a Mel Kiper, whether it's maybe like a Dan Orlovsky, guys who break the game down, they all have their opinion of who they think is the best quarterback in this year's draft. And this draft is different than maybe some other drafts, let's say like the 2020 draft, for example. I think we all thought that Joe Burrow was probably going to be the first overall quarterback taken, that we thought he was the best quarterback in that draft. Same thing with the 2021 draft. Trevor Lawrence unanimously was the best quarterback in that draft. This year is a little bit different. So I want to caution fans. I want to caution Titans fans. With what NFL draft gurus might say. Anthony Richardson has been an incredibly interesting name and quarterback to watch in the NFL Combine because his stock has risen like crazy. This was Mel Kiper on what he thinks about Anthony Richardson.
The 1 year as a starter, Greeny, I mean, 13 starts, there are a lot of guys would say, no, you cannot take a quarterback in the first round or that high in the first round with limited experience at the collegiate level. The talent is off the charts. He will be, when he becomes a starter, Greeny, he'll be one of the top three running quarterbacks in the NFL. The passing, he's got the howitzer. He's got the rocket arm. But accuracy, seeing the field is things he needs to work on. Another year at Florida would have benefited him, but hey, if you're going to be a top 10 pick, develop in the NFL, okay? So for Anthony Richardson, I've said boom or bust. The old cliche is what? Make your draft or break your heart. That's Anthony Richardson.
So Mel Kiper thinks Anthony Richardson could be a top 10 pick in this draft, thinks that he could be a top three running quarterback in the draft. But this was Trevor Maddich, who breaks down all of these quarterbacks who followed Anthony Richardson very closely in college. This is what Trevor Maddich had to say about Anthony
Anybody Richardson. That takes Anthony Richardson, the Florida quarterback, in the first round ought to be banned from decision-making in the NFL for life. He's got tremendous physical talent. If you want to move him to tight end, great. Take a flyer on him in the third round. But as a quarterback, he never showed at Florida the ability to quarterback. He threw well once in a while. He ran well a lot. But in terms of decision-making, it wasn't necessarily stellar. In terms of consistency, it was terrible. And a lot of his best plays happened not because he did something good, but because the defense made a boneheaded college defense mistake.
So, I mean, two very differing opinions about Anthony Richardson. And it's not just Anthony Richardson. Bryce Young, he was thought to be, you know, the first overall quarterback taken. Some think he's the best quarterback in this draft. I mean, this is Dan Orlovsky on Bryce Young.
I mean, the size is going to matter. It is a thing in the NFL. I don't have any concerns about his ability to play at the next level, though. Talent-wise, there's so many different things that differentiate Bryce Young from really the rest of this draft class. One, there is no pulse on this young man. And then two, no play is ever dead. Yeah. And that's the thing that you look at and go, man, the size is a concern, but my goodness, this is hard to replicate when it comes to some of the talent. Nope. I said I wasn't going to compare him to the guy who's playing in Kansas City, and I'm not going to, but my goodness, those look like him. His play is just so special that you feel good about overlooking the size.
So Dan Orlovsky says he's so good, the size doesn't matter. But Michael Lombardi, a former NFL general manager, spoke to Jared at the Super Bowl and had a different opinion.
What do you think about the quarterbacks in this draft?
I mean, I missed the memo that little quarterbacks are back in vogue. I missed that. I didn't know. You know, I mean, Bryce Young's a really good collegiate quarterback. He's 185 pounds, maybe 190. I don't know. He's under 6 feet. I think it's hard. 70 quarterbacks played this year in the NFL, the most since the strike. That means the durability and the health of these quarterbacks is at question. You take a little guy, that's going to be even more a question.
all fair points made by four different analysts that break down quarterbacks, mm-hmm. about two different quarterbacks. And that's just a small sample size of kind of the same sentiment that I feel like I've gotten from the quarterbacks in this draft, is that nobody really knows. And everybody has different opinions about these quarterbacks. We didn't see that with Joe Burrow. We didn't see that with Trevor Lawrence, which makes me think that these quarterbacks in this year's draft might be just a little bit more of a risk.
I don't think they are any more of a risk. And I'm really just talking about C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. I don't think they're any more of a risk than any other, you know, top-tier quarterback that may have been drafted in previous years. Now, I'm going to address the Michael Lombardi. There have been 70 quarterbacks hurt. That's a broad – you're painting this picture broadly, because you didn't break down what the injury was. I guarantee you more of those injuries were ACLs, high ankle sprains, stuff that it doesn't matter.
Shoulder.
if you're 6'5", 7'10", or 5'10". It's going to happen. Tua, two concussions. Tua could have been Josh Allen and still had those concussions. So when you make a statement like that, you have to be able to – well, when you make a statement like that, people that are listening have to be able to decipher what he's really saying here, because – he's painting every injury with a broad brush, and every injury isn't the same. It's not like these quarterbacks are getting this. The NFL is not the NFL of 1980, 1990, where you hit a quarterback from the blind side and you knock him out the game. What do we see with quarterbacks? How are they getting hurt? It's either ACL, somebody fall on them, or a high ankle sprain, or falling on their shoulder, or they get tackled and they fall on their knee and mess up an ACL.
Concussion.
It's never just a hit, you land, and okay, oh, he hurt. He put him out the game. No, it's always things that are an ACL or high ankle sprain or concussion that, frankly, if you're 5'10 or 6'10, it's going to happen to you no matter what. Because of the nature of the game, they are protecting these quarterbacks so well. Now, I'm not worried about a guy that's 5'10", 210 pounds. I think Bryce Young may have weighed in over 200 pounds, just a tad bit over 200 pounds, I believe. But I'm not too worried that he's 5'10", say 205 pounds, 210 pounds. Because the NFL is doing everything they possibly can to protect these quarterbacks. Is he going to get hit? Absolutely. Did he get hit in Alabama? At Alabama? Absolutely. By some guys that are going to be first rounders. By some guys that are going to be top five picks. You can't tell me he hadn't got hit by those big defensive linemen that were rushing him. So all of a sudden now we're trying to nitpick with these quarterbacks. One thing I can tell you is this. What I've seen of Bryce Young, what he's able to do, the ability that he's had, the things that are coming out of the combine, how coaches and GMs are raving about him in these interviews and him dissecting defenses, stuff that he never seen and he's still dissecting it, and what he does, not every quarterback is that way. Okay, if I could have me a 5'10 quarterback, 200 pounds, but they can read everything on the field and could throw the ball like Bryce Young, I'm taking him. Ask those guys that don't want him. If there was a GM, they'd be damn sure trying to move up to get him, because he's one of those quarterbacks that like a Trevor Lawrence, like a Joe Burrow, like a Patrick Mahomes. When you put him underneath center, your window's always going to be open.
I am not one of these guys that thinks you should just package. Like I have not had a chance to see Joe's article. What would he propose to go up and get, quote, the guy that you're looking for? Like, is he looking for the number one overall pick? He's looking to move up to number two, number three, and what would it take? I just think that this roster is so in need of a lot of help at a lot of different positions. I just don't know if I would see the investment it would take to move up and get the guy.
In Joe's article he wrote to trade up to the first overall pick, what he thinks it will take, is 2023 first, 2023 second, 2024 first, and Jeffrey Simmons.
And Jeffrey Simmons.
And Jeffrey Simmons.
Goodness.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
How does that – I mean, that's – I mean, I –
You better be damn sure.
It's basically no. Three first-round picks in a second.
To that, I'm saying no. I'm not trading Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not.
And I'm not,
I'm not trading Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah. But you got to have the stomach for it. If you believe that guy, whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, if you believe that's
Jeffrey
your
Simmons
guy.
Is a stud. Yeah. And he's young.
But you got to have the stomach for it, Willie. If you make it, you got to have the stomach for it. Not every GM has it.
I got sick on the roller coaster a few times, so I may not have the stomach for it, but I'm telling you, I know about Jeffrey Simmons. I've watched him play enough. He's a guy that you do not trade. You pay. You keep him there.
And that's why you got to know.
Mm-hmm.
If, let's say, if we knew that, let's say, the Titans could trade up to go get Joe Burrow, and we knew that Joe Burrow was going to turn into what Joe Burrow is, Patrick Mahomes, and you knew that for certain, and you believed in your gut that that's what that guy was going to be, would you trade two firsts, a second, and Jeffrey Simmons to go get that guy?
If I knew what he was going to be, what he was going to be?
If you knew, like, he was going to be Joe Burrow.
You know you can't.
In
a
heartbeat.
I know, and you can't know. I know. I'm just hypothetically speaking. But if you knew that was going to be your guy, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone would do it. If you knew you could get a Patrick Mahomes or a Joe Burrow, you'd do it. But that's what the Titans have to know for certain.
Yeah.
That's going to be their guy. That's their Patrick Mahomes. That's their Joe Burrow. That's their Peyton Manning. That is their guy. Because if you knew that for sure, you would do it. I would do it. And you don't always know for certain, but the Titans have to know. If that's what they want to do, if they want to make that move that Joe is proposing, they have to know. And from what it sounds like to me, just based off of those four clips about those two guys from four individuals, it doesn't seem like anybody in the league really truly knows what these quarterbacks are going to be. And those guys' opinions don't matter. The only opinions that matter are Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and if Amy Adams Strunk gives them the okay.
But here's the thing.
Let's throw out three names.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Young, Jake Locker, Marcus Mariota. The day that they drafted those guys, they thought they knew. Hey, that's our guy. They didn't even have to trade for those picks.
Yeah.
And they didn't turn out to be the guy.
So if you draft a Jake Locker and you trade two firsts and a Jeffrey Simmons, you get fired.
Yeah,
100%.
But
that's why I'm taking the bird in hand. I like Jeffrey Simmons. I know his makeup. I know his talent. I'm paying him, and I am not. He is not going to be traded.
And I get that. And you know. In this situation, it's do you keep Jeffrey or would you trade him? I don't even think the Titans are even thinking about that. But it's funny that when they're talking about Bryce Young, and I'm only singling out Bryce Young, they only talk about his height and weight. They don't talk about anything, all the stuff that really matters, the throwing, the arm strength.
Ability to read defenses.
Mobility. The escapability. Mm-hmm. The calmness, the coolness that he has in the pocket. They're not talking about all that. And that's the stuff that's really important.
And they talk about, I don't want to say silly stuff, because your height and weight matters.
It matters.
And your hand size matters. But it's hand size time.
But they hadn't even brought up the hand size.
Like, I remember when Joe Burrow was going through, everyone was talking about his teeny tiny little bitty baby hands. And like, no, what do we talk about Joe Burrow? We talk about Joe Burrow. Not his hand size, that's for sure. Let's get back into this conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought on that, plus, is there a Titan? Is there a quarterback in this year's draft that has caught the Titans' interest? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Appreciate y'all's patience with us. These winds are crazy, been knocking on our signal. But again, be careful, be safe. We've got high wind warnings all throughout Davidson County until 6 o'clock this evening. So be safe. Take care of yourselves. Keep all your stuff charged. The Titans' interest in C.J. Stroud. TD went on Stillman & Company yesterday, expressed that the Titans have interest in C.J. Stroud, and whatever that's worth. It's that they like C.J. Stroud better than all of the rest of these quarterbacks in this draft. Do they like C.J. Stroud so much that they're willing to do whatever it takes to go up and get him? That's a completely different story. But they at least, per TD, what he said on Stillman & Company yesterday is that they like C.J. Stroud more than any other quarterback in this draft.
Hey, guys, let's throw out something here of just things that can happen, right? Let's take a season that a lot of Titans fans will remember. The 2006 draft, you know, set the table. USC and Texas play in that epic Rose Bowl. Vince Young steals the show against a powerhouse USC team that was loaded with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and Lindale White and all those guys. So there was so much talk. The Titans that year had the third pick. All right. The Broncos had the 11th pick. So the Titans had the 11th pick this year. There was so much talk that year about Vince Young, Matt Leinart, and Jay Cutler, right? All three of those guys were, we talked so often about, and I'm reminded of that as we talk about Stroud, Levis, and of course, Bryce Young, yeah. So we're talking about these three guys, and we're going to be talking about these three guys for a long time. What do we like about them? What are the flaws? And then we throw Anthony Richardson in there. Where does he fit in? So here's what strikes me. That year in 2006, now you had Mario Williams and Reggie Bush, and you had some other really good players. Vernon Davis is in there. DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who was considered a real high-end offensive lineman at the time. So that, of course, affects it. And we got to do our homework on who the other non-quarterback top guys are in this particular draft. But what struck me is we're talking about trading up to get the guy that you want, all that stuff. You know where Matt Leinart was drafted? You know what pick he was?
He was a top
15. He was top 10, right?
He was 10th.
10th, though.
He slipped to 10th. Like, for a while, I think he was right up there in the conversation, 3, 4, 5 for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Cutler ended up being 11th. So I guess my point is, as we kind of pick apart all three of these guys, I know a lot of years the quarterbacks roll up to the top of the draft, and people that need quarterbacks just go in there, they trade draft picks, they move up to grab them. But is it out of the question that one of those guys would be sitting there at 11?
True.
It's not out of the question.
You don't have to do anything if one of those guys could be there. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was, what pick was he? He slipped all the way to the bottom of the first round.
Yeah, it's not out of the question.
Right? He was supposed to be a high pick, and he went.
He was like 32nd, I want to say.
Yeah, he was at the bottom of
the
first round.
I don't think he got to the second round, but he was way down.
He was in the bottom of the first
round.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young will slip to number 11. But there's a possibility that Richardson slips.
Levis and Richardson. Yeah,
that far. I don't think the Titans are into another project. Not on the first round. They're not in regards to Anthony Richardson. You're not going to. If I'm drafting a quarterback at the 11th pick, it's not a project guy. Like, okay, he has all the physical tools, but, you know, it's going to take him a few years to get up to speed as far as, you know, playing quarterback in the NFL. No, I'm not drafting that guy at the 11th pick. If I'm drafting somebody at the 11th pick and it's a quarterback, it's a guy that needs to come in that can play this year if we need him to play. So if Richardson slips to 11th, I can't see the Titans taking him because to me that's another project.
It totally depends on the board.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, if the Titans have, on their board, if the Titans view Anthony Richardson as making it a fifth best prospect in the draft, mm-hmm. and they fall, and Anthony Richardson falls to the Titans at 11, what a bargain. You get what you think is the fifth best player in this draft at 11, you take him. But if Anthony Richardson falls to you at 11, but you have him mocked as, like, the 35th best player in the draft, just because he's there and just because he's a quarterback, you don't take him. I think it totally depends on the board. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked, really, to your point, I'd be shocked if there was a quarterback like Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, whoever it might be, that falls to 11 simply because this is such a quarterback needy NFL. And I know like the Chiefs draft, like, traded up to get Patrick Mahomes at 10. If you could get a Patrick Mahomes at 10, I think the Titans would be in great shape. But I think also looking at how needy of a quarterback NFL it is right now, I'd be shocked. Like, I think, you know, if you're let's say the Indianapolis Colts, you need a quarterback. You got to take a quarterback in the first round. They're ready to take a quarterback. They're ready to find their next Peyton Manning, their next Andrew Luck. So I think that the Colts would take whoever's there. the Titans are in a great position right now where they don't have to just take whatever quarterback is there.
I think the mistake a lot of teams make is to just go grab a quarterback because you need a quarterback.
Just 'cause you need
one. I think that, like, let's look at, you got me curious with Aaron Rodgers. So 2005, he was 24th. And there was so much talk before the draft of Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers could go 1 and 2, right? And you know what's crazy is that's the year that, and I forgot this, this was the year that the Titans picked Pac-Man Jones. Picked Pac-Man Jones with the 6th pick. And so they, in theory, they could have had Aaron Rodgers right there. But 23 teams passed on him. The pick right after Aaron Rodgers was Jason Campbell, who ended up being an okay quarterback in the league for quite a long time. But it was never a star, of course. But it just looks, when you look at year after year drafts, it's always a hindsight is 2020 sort of thing. But it's really interesting to watch the dynamics of the quarterbacks, and you try to remember what was the talk before the draft. And we could find some drafts where the quarterbacks rocketed up the board, but it didn't mean the teams were right that decided to throw their chips on the table, go grab the quarterback just because, quote, they needed a quarterback.
I think right now what NFL teams are doing, and I think they do this every year, with quarterbacks, especially when there's more than two quarterbacks coming out that can potentially be top five, top 10 picks. I think they try to find reasons why not to draft a guy rather than, because we know why. If you're a top five, top 10 pick, we know why we should draft you.
Right.
We've seen the film. You've checked a lot of, we got 100 boxes. You've checked 90 something of those boxes. So I know for the most part what I'm getting or why I want to draft you. I'm looking at why shouldn't I draft you. So when you're talking about a Bryce Young, well, it's his height and his weight potentially. Okay, you're talking about Anthony Richardson. Well, this kid hadn't played enough football. You know, hadn't played enough football at the quarterback position. He's been inaccurate sometimes. You look at Will Levis. Well, his junior season was better than his senior season. And was that because he didn't have the weapons? And if he didn't have weapons, which means can he not make people around him better? But the more and more I look at it, the one guy that doesn't have many questions or many reasons, and I still like Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young should be the number one pick. But the more and more I look at it, C.J. Stroud is the one guy that you look at and you can't find really anything that will deter you from drafting him. Not his height, not his weight, not his accuracy, not his throwing strength. Oh, how he played against Michigan and Northwestern and Michigan last year. They lost to Michigan last year. So you're trying to pick at reasons why you shouldn't draft him. And the more and more I'm looking at this, even though I still believe Bryce Young is the best quarterback, C.J. Stroud at this point has the least questions about him than the other quarterbacks do.
I would say that's probably fair. Mm-hmm. Now, does C.J. Stroud have as much of an upside as Anthony Richardson has, as Bryce Young might have? Probably not. But that's what you have to weigh when you're making your board, when you're making those really difficult decisions. Do we trade up? Do we wait until they fall to us? Do we stay at 11 and just take whatever the best player is on our board? Do we draft for a position of need? That's what you have to think about. Do we take the maybe not as much of a huge upside, but definitely not as much of a big downside? That's what you have to weigh. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your phones. We've been neglecting the phones this hour, so we'll get into some of your texts. Plus, 16 minutes until the NHL trade deadline. Are the Preds done? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
If there's someone they like on that team, you know, just call, and they'll tell you what they're thinking. So I think the way that, I mean, you've traded a lot of really good pieces already, aside from Favreau or maybe a McDonough who has a no-trade clause. I think everybody knows. I don't know what would be at the top end still remaining necessarily, but everybody knows if they see someone on Nashville they like, call the Predators because they're willing to listen, except for on three guys, really.
There you go. ago. That was Elliot Friedman on the show yesterday, and I think that he's right. If this past week has indicated anything about the Predators' willingness to sell at the trade deadline, just pick up the phone. They could be willing to do a deal. No, we are 10
Well, they better pick up the phone in 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And we've got 11 minutes.
They can't
minutes.
Call after 11 minutes. We got 11 minutes.
Got 11 minutes until the NHL trade deadline. So it's already been announced that David Poile will speak to the media at 3 o'clock. I think that's the indication that the Predators are done. That there's probably no moves left to be made in the wee few minutes left of the NHL trade deadline.
Yeah, it's looking unlikely. I don't know that, you know, I get warning, you know, every year that something's happened, but you can feel it a lot of times. You can look at the Elliot Friedmans and the ones that really have the pulse minute by minute. For example, Elliot just reported a trade and then had to report a minute or two later that the trade is off. James Van Riemsdyk from the Flyers to the Red Wings. And then it was on and then it was off. So he is up to the second what's going on. There just doesn't seem to be anything brewing about some guys. So it's interesting on a couple of fronts. The two guys we talked about a lot at the beginning of the show, guys, Dante Fabro and Kevin Lankinen. Mm-hmm. And so nothing yet. And there's been a lot of role players like that that have changed teams today. So now we're down to 10 minutes. Can't rule anything out because sometimes it goes well beyond 2 o'clock by the time the league gets the trade call. You know, all you have to do is have the, you know, the email in by 2 o'clock. And then sometimes it doesn't get announced until after the deadline. We know how that works sometimes. But I'm not sensing, and this tells me that the injury to Alex Carrier could be significant for them to hold on to Dante Fabro. I think they were definitely shopping him around. But he may have a great opportunity now to play a big role down the stretch. And then Lankinen is another guy, as we said. Elliot yesterday talked about the goalie market isn't great right now for the sellers. And so they may elect to just hold on to Kevin Lankinen for the rest of the season. But like we said, still 9 minutes to go. And you never know if somebody's desperate in the final minutes. Sometimes that's when you get the best deal. It was literally the last couple of minutes that Nashville years ago got the offer for Philip Forsberg in the Martin Erat deal.
And to the
that
point
was
about,
last minute.
Yeah. And to the point about Dante Fabro, it could be one. You know, the injury to Carrier, you got to hold on to some defensemen. You can't just sell them all. You still need to play with some guys on the ice. And two, there may just maybe not have been a market for Dante Fabro. To your point, I don't think it goes without trying from David Poile and the Predators organization, but it's just either wasn't the market for it or you look at it and it's not smart to deal him at the moment, considering that we are dwindling down numbers in defensemen. And I also think it's interesting. I feel like in years past, and you do correct me if you think I'm wrong, I always felt like in years past, Friday was always so crazy. In the last few minutes, like the Martin Erat trade, like you mentioned, Willie, it always came down to the very last second. With the Predators and with the NHL as a whole, I feel like so many things happened throughout the week that today has been pretty quiet.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah,
been.
A lot of role players. A lot of role players today because the big ones had already sort of moved. It was interesting this year. Like you said, Caroline, it wasn't like a big whirlwind on the day of the deadline. It was really a week or a week and a half of steady deals throughout the league. And, of course, Nashville was at the center of it with, what was it, four trades in 6 days. So they spread it out. Can you imagine if all four of those guys got traded today? What that would be like? Holy cow.
Man.
So it was spread out. So, you know, like I saw that the Wild are wheeling and dealing. For those that follow them and follow the, you know, the rivals of the Predators closely, they traded Jordan Greenway, who at one point looked like he was going to be, you know, a core player for them. He's got term on his contract. They traded him away. They brought in Oscar Sundquist. So there's been some wheeling and dealing. The Sabres, who probably needed a little size and toughness, they picked up Greenway. But those are the kind of deals that we've seen today. No superstars have changed hands today.
Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I know you have some Predators trade deadline thoughts. Tom in Nashville texts in and says, the Predators should trade Saros. Saros' value will never be higher. Top goalie, term on deal, low average. If you wait and Saros has a year left or just the 1 year left, the value goes down. And you aren't re-signing Saros at what could be $8 to $10 million. And why re-sign at that when Askarov could be cheaper and controlled? I don't think it's going to happen in the next 7 minutes.
You never know, but I disagree that his value will go down. I don't believe that's true. I think if you're a premier goalie and you're 29, you still have a lot of value. And I don't think Askarov is a sure thing. I don't know that there is such a thing as a goalie at 20 being a sure thing, although I'm really excited about that kid's future. He just keeps doing it, and the more I learn about him, the more I like him. But there's a lot of refining that has to happen. I just think there's going to be a time where you have a very, hopefully, a great choice to be made. Keep Saros, and like the caller mentioned, I do agree that he will become very much more expensive in the next contract. Keep him or trade him at that time, and Askarov will be then, in theory, ready to help your team. He'll still only be 22. It's not like he's going to be, 29 at that point. He's so young.
One texter texted in and said, do you think the Predators tried to trade Tyson Barrie and flip him before the trade deadline?
I don't think so, because they need defensemen right now. And I think next year, Tyson Barrie would be a very good asset that you could trade at the deadline to somebody, because Tyson Barrie has a very defined skill set. He is an excellent power play quarterback. He's an offensive defenseman. He's not a guy that you want to put in your top pair. He's not a shutdown guy per se, but he's a great team guy, and I do think he will be a valuable trade asset next year. I don't think he's as valuable this year. Why? Because he's $4.3 against the cap next year. And so when he's a unrestricted free agent coming up, I think he'd have more value there. And he'll be useful to the team down the stretch here. We talked about it. There's still 20-something games left. You want to play meaningful games if you can, and he would help them do that.
And some news coming out. Did Luke Evangelista just get re-signed?
I don't think so. He's on his entry-level contract, so I don't see why he would be
reassigned.
Reassigned? No.
We misread that. Reassign.
Well, what they do, remember what happens is, when you can have a paper transaction where a guy is assigned to Milwaukee and then reassigned to that. He'll be in the lineup tomorrow, I promise you. Mm. He's not going anywhere.
Reporter Nick was inquiring about Luke Evangelista.
They do that. They've been doing this with a lot of players, if you notice. They send them to Milwaukee on paper, and then reassign them to the Predators. They don't go anywhere. Evangelista will be in there tomorrow.
Be a pretty, whiplash heading from Milwaukee to Nashville, as much as they're re-signed and then called back up. David Poile will speak with the media in just about 1 hour. I'm sure we will play that live, get his thoughts on the trade deadline, the week of craziness of the Nashville Predators moving forward, what this team looks like, what the next few months look like as Barry Trotz transitions into the full-time general manager role. That's going to do it for us today. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. The storms sound pretty brutal out there. Stillman & Company is up next. We'll be back Monday at 11.
Peace.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.